Is a bowl of cereal better for you and your health than a bacon cheeseburger? Is obesity your fault, or just how the gene pool lottery made you? There are a few articles out right now that share some common threads, and I want to discuss them and why the messaging they send seems very wrong. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 229, Food and Freedom, once a week, for life. When I was in high school, one of my friends was pretty portly. Bill was 3 years older than I was and tipped the scales at over 300 pounds. His sister and his mother were also, well, fat or morbidly obese. Now, that term, morbidly obese, has been replaced with the phrase class 3 obesity. A ClevelandClinic.org post reads to say that the term morbid carries both a medical definition but also a societal definition that is pejorative, so the term was changed. Bill was the brother to Jimmy, who was the first friend I made when we moved to Central Lake. And being my first friend and his brother, that meant I spent many days and dinner times at their house. We ate like teens eat. Nothing odd or unusual. Bill was always big. That was it. Jimmy was skinny as a rail. Short, too. And, I don't know if it's relevant for this story, Jimmy had type 1 diabetes. Bill was tall, nearly 6 feet. His mom and sister weren't that tall, but they were like he was. They were big. Now, I mentioned they were siblings to get to this point. Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, a recent appointee by Joe Biden to the 2025 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, was interviewed by Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes on what I believe was January 1st, 2023. And during her interview, she offered this, quote, "It's a brain disease. And the brain tells us how much to eat and how much to store," end quote. Now, she's saying that about obesity. She makes the point more plain with this, quote, "But the number one cause of obesity is genetics. That means if you are born to parents that have obesity, you have a 50 to 85% likelihood of having the disease yourself, even with optimal diet, exercise, sleep management, stress management. So when people see families that have obesity, the assumption is, ugh, what are they feeding those kids? They're doing something wrong," end quote. Now, I find the language of having obesity kind of interesting. Like I'm having cancer, I'm having diabetes, I'm having high blood pressure. I don't have those things. I'm just picking on the language. I took her comments, from the webpage for that episode. I didn't actually watch the show. What was mentioned in that last quote about optimal health, but not discussed at all in the post, was what exactly is optimal diet. I misspoke. I didn't mean optimal health. They mentioned it. She mentioned it, but it never was discussed. Leslie Stahl didn't ask, what is an optimal diet? She also didn't ask, what is sleep management, which would be a good question. More than a few people have taken Dr. Stanford to task already, and more are sure to follow. The message seems hopeless. If you are obese, too bad, sucks to be you. But wait! The FDA has some help. There's an injection that is nearly entirely out of stock, costs in the neighborhood of $1,300 a month, and insurance probably won't pay. So, to sum up so far, if you are obese, it's not your fault. It's in your genes. There's help, but not really. It seems to me that this idea that if you are obese, it isn't your fault, has the possibility of being correct, but it can't be so for 100% of obese people. Suggesting it is not your fault, even if your diet consisted of cereal and Pop-Tarts and soda and Twinkies, overlooks the lack of nutrition in the calories consumed. And that seems to be a pretty gross professional error. And it is as wrong to say as it would be to say no obese people are obese from genetics. There is no single one-size-fit-all diagnosis for anything. Now, there will be more about this as it unfolds, and I'm sure I will have something to say about that, but I mention that as a transition to this. A January 9, 2023 post from statesnews.com has an article with the provocative title, Pediatricians Recommend Weight Loss Drugs and Surgery for Children with Obesity, end quote. Swell, huh? Now, it actually could be Stat News. I will put a link to whatever it is on the show notes page. The article comes out swinging for the fences in the first paragraph. It reads, quote, children struggling with obesity should be evaluated and treated early and aggressively, including with medications for kids as young as 12 and surgery for those as young as 13, according to new guidelines released Monday, end quote. There are some sick and twisted Monday Fridays out there. Where Dr. Stanford stopped, Aaron Kelly, co-director of the Center for Pediatric Obesity Medicine at the University of Minnesota, is only too happy to step up and say this. Obesity is not a lifestyle problem. It is not a lifestyle disease. It predominantly emerges from biological factors, end quote. Both of these articles are talking about the same drug as I read it. It's a drug from Novo Nordisk, a company that sponsors 60 Minutes, and to their credit, they revealed that that was the case. Dr. Justin Ryder, another doctor and researcher at the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, said, quote, it works on how your brain and stomach communicate with one another and helps you feel more full than you would be, end quote. What seems unknown to Dr. Ryder and everyone mentioned in the articles I've read is that there is already a way to adjust and improve how the gut and brain talk to each other. That's eating foods that increase and enhance the microbiome, which is the gut part of the gut-brain axis. Now, there is also a way to eat to make sure that you feel more full than you normally would be, and that is avoiding Twinkies and Pop-Tarts and all the things we're gonna mention this in just a second. So eating real food makes you feel fuller longer. So it seems at least something that they did acknowledge that there is such a thing as the gut-brain axis, and then in the next breath, they seem far too willing and eager to destroy it with medicine. In a moment of sanity in the paper, Dr. Robert Lustig of the University of California, San Francisco was quoted saying, quote, it's not that I'm against the medications. I'm against the willy-nilly use of those medications without addressing the cause of the problem. Lustig, that's the end of his quote. Lustig, and this is still from the article, Lustig said children must be evaluated individually to understand all of the factors that contribute to obesity. He has long blamed too much sugar for the rise in obesity. He urges a sharp focus on diet, particularly ultra-processed foods that are high in sugar and low in fiber. End quote. Now, my comment is add seed oils to the list of objectionable ingredients. That seems like a lot. That's certainly a few names. There's no reason you should remember those names or know who those people are, but that seemed like a lot, and frankly, it was. But there's more. Tufts University released a food compass a few years ago, and one particular portion has gone viral, which has been reworked. I will explain that in a second. Nina Teicholz reworked the numbers to make a bar graph instead of a compass. This particular chart compares breakfast cereals to other foods in ranking order of to be encouraged down to be minimized. At the top of the list of 23 items is Frosted Mini Wheats with a value of 87 out of 100. And the bar graph extends all the way out, and it's bright green, to be encouraged. And I'm assuming that's, I don't know what, it's 87 out of, it's obviously 87%. I don't know what more that means. The rest of the 23 foods, 19 are cereals, with Honey Smacks on the bottom of this chart with the number of 37. So 20 cereals, the last three foods are actually food. Eggs fried in butter, 29, cheddar cheese, 28, and cooked ground beef, 26. Those three real foods are, according to the Food Compass, to be minimized, but by golly, load up on those Frosted Mini Wheats. And it is worth noting, in the big government, big business world of the Great Reset, you maybe thought we were going to escape that, huh? Kellogg's, which has 40 products on the compass, is a gold member supporter of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition's Food and Nutrition Innovation Institute. Well, isn't that nice? So far, we've covered obesity and how it is just genetics, and there's nothing you can do for it except take an injection, which you can't get. And if you can get it, you can't afford it. And if you can't afford it, your insurance isn't going to pay for it. Sorry about your luck. Have a slice of cake. Have a bowl of cereal. Now, the university is saying, eat your breakfast cereal, but cut back on eggs and meat. That's pretty silly to just about anyone who can think. I mentioned the WEF's Great Reset, and that is a big rabbit hole. And one I've gone down. And just when you thought it was done, there's this. Nina writes on her Unsettled Science Substack that she was told, quote, that the Food Compass was also seriously considered for promotion by the Rockefeller Foundation, end quote. Well, that's a rabbit hole and a half, and that truly is another episode. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I know this is a short one, but I really wanted to share this information with you. It's just the surface, but maybe you didn't know about those articles. Maybe you didn't see the thing about drugs and surgery on children. And having a couple, this is important. This is the thing that needs to be known. So I hope at least now you know. And it's important to be aware of I know it sounds crazy. I do. I get it. It sounds insane. How could somebody how could this kind of collusion happen? How could EAT Lancet and the World Economic Forum and all this stuff, how could this happen? Well, it is. So knowing what they intend to do to us and our kids and our food is important. Of course, by the way, in those articles, no mention was made of the horror that is the free school breakfast, oh my God, and free school lunch. No, can't address that. Just here, take a pill. I'll add the links to Nina's Substack, the 60 Minutes post, and the Kids on Drugs and Surgery post on the show notes page. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you being here. Thanks also to my Patreon supporters. Last week, I put up a short video for the patrons about dealing with thawed grocery store fish, which tied into the fish part of the Escoffier series. You can become a member through the support link, which will also be on the show notes page. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.